Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? New episodes of Lockdown Trivia will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. If you'd like to play your own game of Lockdown Trivia, follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. You'll need four expert categories and a favorite music genre. Stick around at the conclusion of each game for some bonus questions and for a commentary on the writing of the questions of that episode. While there's a lot to learn from playing trivia, there's perhaps more to learn from researching and writing it. Our guest this week is Carmela Smith from Jacksonville, Florida. Her expert categories are RPG video games, science fiction movies, 2000s music, and space. Here's how Lockdown Trivia works. Players see a board in front of them with four categories and five questions of increasing difficulty in each category. The first question in each category is unlocked, but the subsequent questions require one, two, three, and four keys respectively to open. Players earn keys by answering consecutive questions correctly. If a player misses a question, I will take all of their keys. Players can only open questions for which they have a sufficient number of keys. If the player is in a pinch, they have five bonus questions available to them that cannot break a streak or hurt them, but will give them an extra key each if they answer them correctly. A perfect score in Lockdown Trivia is 25 points. Carmela, you know the rules of Lockdown Trivia.
Yes.
Are you ready to begin your game?
Let's do it. Let's start with RPG video games.
All right. This is a fun one to write. Your unlocked RPG video games question is this. What fifth installment of the Elder Scrolls franchise is widely regarded as one of the best Western RPG video games of all time?
So I was there on the midnight release for this game on 11-11-11, because that's how freaking old it is. And I'm actually playing the fourth installment's remaster right now after pouring years of my life into it 20 years ago. But this was Skyrim.
It is Skyrim. I'm glad you like it. All right, Carmela, you've got one key. Will you continue in the category or jump somewhere else?
Yeah, let's jump to the next RPG one.
All right, your one key RPG question is this. What second biggest gaming franchise in the world released its first RPG game in 1996 and its most recent RPG game in 2022?
Second biggest video game franchise. So I want to say that this is Mario. Mario RPG, I think, is about right for 1996. I think it was a Super Nintendo. And I have one of the more recent ones on my Switch. I felt like it was 2023, but it may have been 2022. So I'm going to go with Mario.
It's Pokemon.
Pokemon. Oh, okay. Let's... Yeah, okay, yeah, I was going to say, but they're all RPGs. No, obviously that's the correct answer, that's why. Oh, I feel really dumb.
You know what? It happens, and it wasn't an unlocked question, so there's a certain, it's going to increase in difficulty, but I do have to take your key away, and you have plenty of places to play. I have no doubt we will get back to this RPG category.
Oh, for sure. Honestly, in my brain, I would have thought Pokemon would have overtaken Mario at this point, just because there are so many.
Let's just say Nintendo's doing all right.
Yeah, Nintendo's doing just fine.
Yes. All right. No keys, but plenty of places to play. Where would you like to go next?
Let's go space, the final frontier.
This isn't a category about Star Trek. I just like it, and that's why I named it that. This is just a space category. So
that works for
me. Here is your unlocked space question. Meaning nearest of Centaurus, what star's name refers to its status as the closest star to our sun?
Proxima Centauri.
Proxima Centauri is correct. And one key back in your pocket.
Yay! All right, let's do the next space one.
Space for one key. Your question is this. What type of star that shares its name with the protagonist of a Nickelodeon show from 2002 to 2006 is so dense that a sugar cube-sized amount of it would weigh about a billion tons on Earth?
I like the way you phrase this question. It's pretty good. This is a neutron star.
This is a neutron star,
yes. Jimmy Neutron, yep.
At a very underrated Nickelodeon show.
Oh, I love that show. I also love that one of his best friends' name is Sheen Estevez, as in Martin Sheen, Emilio Estevez.
Yep. That's one of those things that's just for the adults in the cartoon. It you is. Know what I mean?
It's so great.
All right. You've got two keys and a choice. Where would you like to go with them?
I'm still feeling a little sore about the RPG thing, so let's stick with space.
Okay. Your two-key space question is this. Name for the Roman goddess of love, beauty, and fertility. What planet takes about 243 Earth days to rotate once, but only 225 days to orbit the sun?
It is the only planet that spins in retrograde. That's Venus.
That is correct. Talk about a long day.
Oh, yeah. Long day. It's super hot. The atmosphere is completely unlivable.
Yes. Lovely place to vacation.
Lovely place. But yeah. Looks really pretty on the horizon.
It does. Three keys are in your pocket thanks to Venus. What's next?
Let's stick with space.
All right. Your three-key space question is this. Named for a Dutch astronomer who first proposed its existence in 1950, what theoretical collection of objects is essentially the outermost boundary of the sun's gravitational influence?
Ooh, so I'm between two answers here, because if we're talking specifically about our sun, the outer boundaries of our solar system...
We is, are, yes.
...is the Kuiper Belt and the Oort Cloud. I'm going to go with the Oort Cloud.
And I'm glad you did, because okay. That's the correct answer, yes.
I was like, is this a Kuiper Belt question or an Oort Cloud question?
Yes, the Oort Cloud does go a little farther out, and I omitted the description icy objects just to make it a little bit harder question, but gotcha. You are correct. And now you have four keys in your pocket.
All right, let's go back to the RPG. Let's go to two keys.
All right, your two-key RPG question is this. In one of the most famous internet moments of all time, Ben Schultz yelled what name running into the rookery in World of Warcraft? I'm glad you like it.
I do like it, and I'm going to tell you why. My favorite video game of all time is Mass Effect.
Okay.
There is a character in the beginning of the first game, and his name is Jenkins. His name is Richard L. Jenkins. The L stands for Leroy, and it's Leroy Jenkins.
I love it's not just a Easter egg of your own game, it's an Easter egg of another game. I love it. Leroy Jenkins is correct. You now have five keys and all the options in the world. What would you like to do with them?
You know what? Let's see what Sci-Fi Unlocked got.
All right, your unlocked sci-fi movies question is this. The role was originally written for a man. But what actress's character in Alien started an explosion that she used to kill the titular antagonist in 1979?
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver is correct. Six keys now, and anything you want, you can do it. Let's see what that is.
Let me see what this four-key space question's got.
All right. Space for four keys. The hypothetically hardest question.
Hypothetically.
Is this. Demonstrating movement contrary to Newton's laws as it passed through our solar system in 2017. What is the name of the interstellar object that had some reputable scientists speculating it could be controlled by intelligent life?
Oh, I don't remember this one. It'd be really sad to lose all my keys, but I might have to. I might say the Kobayashi Maru. Just because we're on Star Wars.
Good
Star
answer. Good answer. Unfortunately, it's not the correct answer.
Yeah.
This is as four key a question as there has been, I think, because it is a Hawaiian word, if I'm not mistaken. But this is Oumuamua.
Ah. And not to be confused with Kamehameha out in the Kuiper Belt, one of our dwarf planets.
Yeah. Yeah, this is that cigar-shaped object, which was originally classified as a comet. Mm-hmm. And then reclassified as an asteroid, and then reclassified again with a new classification system because we changed it to unknown. We called it a U instead of a C or an A. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
So
we're always reclassifying stuff as we learn more things about it, which is why I'm okay that Pluto is not quote unquote a planet anymore.
I am too. That's my hot. That's our hot take of the episode.
Yes.
Pluto is absolutely not a planet.
No.
We know better.
Have you ever read Mike Brown's book, How I Killed Pluto and Why It Had It Coming?
I almost bought it literally 3 weeks ago at Barnes & Noble.
I suggest you do. It's a great book. I love Mike Brown. He's actually a really good educator. Really forgot who teaches astrophysics at Caltech. He's very approachable as far as how he teaches things. But The book is fascinating. I think you should read it.
I will. There's a recommendation from Carmela for the episode. Mike Brown's How I Killed Pluto and Why It Had It Coming. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. Unfortunately, I also killed the number of keys in your pocket.
You did. You did. And you know what? I'll forgive you.
All right. We have either to go to the 2000s music category or bonus questions. What do you want to do?
Let me see what your before and after is.
Ooh, a bonus question before and after. Here it is. The space mission, now known for human ingenuity and resilience, plus a Netflix series starring Dylan Minnette that sees frequent banning challenges in libraries and schools.
You know what? This is just going to have to be my Apollo 13 reasons why.
Yep, that is correct. You have one key again, and you can do a number of things with it. What will you do?
I'm going to go for sci-fi one key. Sci-fi movies.
All right, back to sci-fi movies for one key. Your question is this. In Blade Runner, many of the city sounds were unused sounds from what other franchise created by Industrial Light and Magic?
I'm going to go with Star Wars.
And you get your second key there. That is correct. The background on that one, that's a trauma response question for me.
Yeah.
I'm an encyclopedia of Star Wars, like crazy, crazy good Star Wars knowledge. I missed Industrial Light and Magic as a question 3 separate occasions
before
I finally was ready to tattoo it on my arm so I could cheat at trivia. Anyways, there's my Star Wars trauma dump. You have two keys.
I do. Let's go sci-fi movies. Two keys.
All right. Here's your question. The TIE Fighter sound was created by combining the sounds of a car driving by on wet pavement with the bellow of what large mammal whose ancient ancestors have recently been in the news?
Ancient ancestors. So no, it's not the dire wolves because they're not big enough. I don't know. An elephant? Maybe the mammoths were in the news.
You are correct.
Okay.
Yes. We're throwing those woolly mammoths back in Siberia. That was the recent news story.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
I was thinking about, like, we've, you know, recreated the dire wolves.
Where will we go next? We have, ooh, an interesting choice now.
We do. Let's go with, I'm going to do something crazy.
Oh, no.
2000s music, 2-liners for 3 keys.
Okay, our first introduction to the category. So in this one, I will tell Carmela the year a song came out and the first 2 lines of the song. She will need to identify the artist and song title. Now, in a lockdown trivia first, if she can only identify one of those things, she will not get a key, but she will not lose her keys either. Getting neither of them will lose her keys like missing a question normally would. Getting both will get her a key and give her the question like it normally would. But if she can only identify half of it, it will be a wash, not towards her points, but not against her either. So a first time for lockdown. Let's see how it goes. Your 3 key 2000s music 2-liners clue is this. 2008. Closed off from love, I didn't need the pain. Once or twice was enough, and it was all in vain.
Eight. I don't think this is right, but I'm going to say Lady Gaga, Love Game.
There's a lot of songs about love. Unfortunately, that is not this one.
Yep.
This is Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis. So I will have to take your keys.
You will have to. So I was like, let me grab something way out there before I lose all my keys again and have to start over.
That's fair enough. And there's plenty of room to play on your board here still. You've got all 3 of your first 2000s 2-liners questions and 4 bonus keys. So what would you like to do next?
Let's grab that 2000 music liner unlock.
All right, here's your clue. 2003. Go shoddy. It's your birthday. We gonna party like it's your birthday.
Mr. Curtis Jackson, this is 50 Cent, and this is In the Club.
In the Club by 50 Cent is correct, and that will get you a key. I love the giggles this episode because we have a similar humor of the knowledge we have, so we both know when it's funny to us.
It is.
All right, one key in your pocket, where to next?
Let's try Deep Cuts.
All right. Bonus question, so it can't hurt you. And deep cuts, I'll tell you five songs from the first album of a band or artist that you like based on your self-reported favorite music genre. You will try to tell me which band or artist that is. Mm-hmm. So here is your deep cuts clue. Hurricane Drunk. Blinding. Are You Hurting the One You Love? Falling. Swimming.
Your songs remind me of swimming. This is Florence and the Machine.
The album is
called Lungs.
Yes, Florence and the Machine is...
Yep.
What was your self-reported music genre? I think it said indie, folk, jazz, whatever Hozier has going on.
Yep, it was like, whatever Hozier's got going on, that.
Well, you have two keys now. Where to next?
I would like to go to 2000s music, two layers for one key.
Okay, your one key 2000s music clue is this. 2003. I look and stare so deep in your eyes, I touch on you more and more every time.
I don't think this is it, but it sounds like something the Dashboard Confessional would do. But I don't have a song name, so I'm just going to say Dashboard Confessional.
Unfortunately, I will have to take your keys away here. This is Crazy in Love by Beyonce.
Oh, Beyonce. Oh, I should have known that.
So now we play the bonus question game.
Yep.
There are three bonus questions available, and your next question that's in your categories requires two keys. So we will have to get at least two out of three to get back into your categories.
Yep.
Where would you like to start?
Let's do Stormy Trivia.
In Stormy Trivia, I'm going to ask you a question I think you should know. And this one comes with love from Jay Borsum.
Love, Jay.
So here is your question. Many states argue about how to make the best kind of barbecue sauce. But which state stays out of that argument altogether, as it is known for dry rubs and embracing the flavor of meat with minimal sauce?
That would be Texas.
That would be Texas. And you have one bonus key.
Yes.
We are one down and at least one to go in the bonus questions. Where would you like to go next?
Let's go with National Blank Day.
As we have heavily alluded to throughout this episode, today is a very special day as of recording for both of us. It is May the 4th. And so here is a question about National Star Wars Day.
Okay.
Your question is this. Bodhi Rook is a former Imperial pilot who, in a time-sensitive panic, gives what titular call sign to the ship he and others are stealing from the Rebellion in a Star Wars movie?
In addition to my Leia, I have Rebellions Are Built on Hope tattooed right here, which is... from Rogue One, which obviously that's the name of the ship because that's why they named the movie that. They called it Rogue One. All right.
Yes, Rogue One is correct.
Oh, I would have felt really bad if I had missed that because it literally is. I have Rebellions Are Built on Hope literally tattooed to my flesh.
Yeah, there's that. So here's where we're at. You got two keys that you need to get back into your categories, and now you have a choice. You can jump to the two key 2000s music two liners, or... Mm-hmm. You could try to grab another bonus question and jump to a three-key option in one of the other categories. What would you like to do?
I think I'm going to do the last bonus question because 2000s music liners has not been good to me, and I want to get back to some of the ones that have been.
Fair enough. All right. When in the world is your last bonus clue?
Mm-hmm.
And this clue, I will give you three things that happened in a year. You will try to identify the year they all occurred.
Okay.
Here they are. The European Union was established by the Maastricht Treaty. The World Trade Center was bombed. Michael Jackson performed at the Super Bowl halftime show.
Okay. The World Trade Center bombing happened, I think, in the early 90s. It's the European Union thing that's throwing me off. My grandfather lived in Italy for most of the 90s. And I'm trying to remember when he had to change over his money. I'm going to say 1992.
You were so close, Carmella. Oh. This is 1993.
93.
Yes. Unfortunately, I can't give you a bonus key, but no harm, no foul. And now it's a game of the very middle of your board. Can you get through that two key 2000s music two liners question? All the twos.
Oh, let's use. Okay, so let's do it.
Here is your two key 2000s music two liners clue. 2006, where is the moment we needed the most? You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost.
Oh, I know this song. It's a guy's voice. Is it? What the hell is that guy's name? Because I need both. I think it's, is that it? Is it Daniel Powder? You had a bad day?
I will take that as a correct answer because it is Daniel Powder's Bad Day.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. And your game will continue. Well, Carmela, you have three keys and your game is not over yet. And now you have a choice to make whether we're going to go to sci-fi movies or RPG video games for a more comfortable category for your next three key question.
Yeah, let's go RPG video games.
All right. Your RPG video game three key question is this. Made for the SNES in 1995, what JRPG follows a group of adventurers through time as they try to prevent a global catastrophe?
This is the first Final Fantasy game.
This is not the first Final Fantasy game.
Oh, no.
This is Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger. Oh, there is a time traveling element in the first Final Fantasy game.
One release date was 1987.
Yeah. Yeah.
So unfortunately, I will have to mark that wrong and your game will end, Carmela, but
that's okay.
You were wonderful and you had a pretty good score here. It looks like we've got 15 points.
Okay. And, I'll take
that
it.
That is a passing grade in a difficult game. So congratulations on that. Before we get out of here, do you have any shout outs or things coming up that you want to give some light to?
Yeah, sure. A few other trivia podcasts. I'm one of the hosts of Trivial Warfare, that comes out every other week, and that is a pub style trivia show. I also am the host of Foreplay, which is a puzzle connection shows. Think about your connections that you do, for the New York Times, except my show came out before that puzzle thing existed. Ooh. And I am also, depending on when this comes out, in the middle of May, I am a co-producer and a player, on a actual play podcast that's coming out based on the Daggerheart system, which is coming out in May, called Queen of Daggers, Heart of Fire. And you can check that out at hagdealgaming.com.
Well, it will be out after that, so folks will get to check that out and see a couple things you guys have done to get their intro into it. Carmela, thank you very much. You were wonderful, and I was happy to see that we overlapped so much in our joys and our knowledge base here, so it made for a fun episode.
Absolutely.
And we'll get you back on for a future episode on a future season of Lockdown.
Oh, yeah, that for sure. I would love to come back. Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Sounds good. We'll see you later. Thanks again, Carmela, for coming on the show. There was so much B-reel of this episode. I literally cut three times what aired because we were just talking and sharing stories and giggling and having a great time. So you were a joy to have on. I cannot wait to have you back on Lockdown Trivia. There was a lot to learn from this game, but I think what I want to focus in on is the problem that we are having as a trivia community, and that is, how do we write music questions and clues without playing music? You know, we earn money when we host trivia nights, we do this, we do that, and we can't be making money off of the rights that other people have for their songs. So how do we make music trivia fun? This is more of an open question to the community than it is a solution from me, because I haven't quite figured out what I love most about writing music trivia. I love listening to music. Carmel and I talked and said, you know, if you're a music trivia person, you know your music because you hear your music. You can identify the artist. You can identify the name of the song. You may be able to identify, you know, individuals in the band or something about them. But what we love about music isn't what we know about it. It's what we listen to. And so I challenge my listeners that have been listening now. This is the 15th episode and you guys are deep in this now. How do you like music questions written? What has worked for you? What has not worked for you? What are some of your favorite formats for music trivia? What are some of your least favorite? All outside of just playing a song. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think, because future Lockdown Trivia episodes and hopefully trivia as a whole will improve because of this dialogue. What can we do to honor music trivia without listening to music? I want to hear from you on Discord, email, however you want to reach out to me, even if it's in the comments of your sign up for your own Lockdown Trivia episode. Let's workshop this and figure out the best possible way to write music trivia. Our bonus question comes from the sci-fi movies category, and it is this. While it was one of the first movies to use extensive computer-generated imagery, what movie in 1982 had no chance at the Oscar for visual effects because the Academy disqualified it? While you're thinking of that, I want to thank Carmela one more time for coming on. She was such a blast, and I want to invite you to be on your own episode of Lockdown Trivia. Season 2 is recording now. New categories, new formats, and a lot of great stuff on the horizon. So find the link in the description of each episode. Give me your 4 expert categories and your favorite music genre, and I will take care of and honor the rest of the game. The answer to today's bonus question is Tron. New episodes will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. I can't wait to continue to learn, continue to write, and continue to play, but most importantly, continue to unlock our brains one key at a time. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll see you next week. She has one of my favorite cameos of all time.
Yeah.
When she randomly is in the last 2 minutes of Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. Cabin in the Woods is a fun take on the horror movie genre.
It's my favorite horror movie because it knows what it is.
Yeah.
And it does it well.
Yeah, it's super campy. It's got Bradley Whitford in it for some reason. it's an insane
and
movie.
Liam Hemsworth too, right?
Yeah.
It's got huge names for absolutely no reason.
Yeah. It's an insane horror movie. And like I said, it's a great take on the genre as a whole. I love that movie. You are correct to say that is your favorite horror movie. Yeah.